Today, we talk to Trey. This is We the Exiles.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I am your host, Cameron Wood, along with my brother and co-host, Chandler Wood. We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
So I saw something interesting, Chandler, this article. I thought it would be interesting to kind of open up the podcast today and talk about it.
Okay. What is it?
I saw this article. Let me see. Where did I have it? Oh, it's right here. Let me pull it up here. It's on my phone here. Exploding stars led to humans walking on two legs, radical studies suggest. It was the evolutionary leap that defined the species. While other apes ambled around on all fours, the ancestors of humans rose up on two legs, and from that lofty position went on to conquer the world.
Wow.
This comes from, by the way, comes from The Guardian, which I believe is a UK, kind of like the Times or whatever.
That's great. Wow.
I saw that yesterday, and I was like, exploding star.
We come from exploding stars.
Or exploding stars led to us at least walking on two legs. Before that, we walked on, I guess, four legs, like apes. This, of course, is the crazy thinking that happens when your eyes are darkened to truth. When you can't see or understand the truth. We know as Christians, that we're made in the image of God, that creation, all of creation, comes from God the Creator. And it's funny, I see this, but it is more common than you realize.
Oh, yeah.
And even some Christian circles, they still believe, or they think it's okay, or that to somehow balance evolution with Christian ideology, and some people don't see evolution as being kind of counterproductive to Christian thought, but I don't agree with that. I think it's very counterproductive because it should start and end with God.
Yeah, the word says it clearly.
Yeah.
And that's nuts. It's funny too how people will easily buy that. Like, the most outrageous things that can be written or thought up. That sounds like something that like a 5-year-old would come
say,
up,
like, yeah,
a
just
fictional
almost
thing
like
that would come up in their mind.
An attention grabber or whatever. But how would you even study that is what I want to know. Like, how would you even, yes, a lot of the things that we know as Christians is based on faith. We trust God's word. Of course, that trusting comes from a lot of that from the Holy Spirit within us, allows us to believe and see the things that we see. But from just a practical standpoint, you know, just reading that exploding star, what leads to us walking. For me, it's just interesting that more likely than not, people would read that and take that as fact. But then when it comes to a literal creation, you know, say that, well, that's just hogwash.
Yeah. You know? Well, I was actually thinking about this the other day. I do. And I ponder that a lot, but there's every now and then there's times where that really hits you. The thought of creation. And I was looking at my daughter. I think we were just playing around, and I was looking at her, and I was looking at her eyes and her ears, and then that the thought that usually happens is just like, wow, thinking we have all these amazing functions in our body, and like they work so perfectly together. Like, we have ears to hear, we have eyes to see, we have a nose to smell and to breathe, and a mouth. Like, where that doesn't just come from nothing. I mean,
yeah.
That is beautiful.
It's intelligent design.
That is a beautiful, beautiful design.
It's intelligent design.
And how God has made it that my child, or you know, any child, comes from the mother's own body.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing creation.
According to Scripture, we know that you were knitted together in your mother's womb by God. I mean, that's clear in Scripture. That's in Psalms. And so we know that. We believe that. We know just from the creation account that God has created everything, the heavens and the earth. On the sixth day, he created man. We know that and we believe that. And we may in a future episode get into maybe like a full-on creation discussion. We may even have like some looks at evolution thing, kind of not necessarily to debate, because that's not what we're here to do on the podcast. Because our firm is, when we stand firm where we stand, because we're looking at Scripture black and white for the most part. And that's kind of where we want to set our foot down when it comes to what we're doing with this podcast. Not that we're not trying to think critically about God's word, but that they're just things that are obviously black and white in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And for us, we don't see why there's a need to try to finagle your way around the black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just stand firm? And for me, at least for me, we can go into this maybe in deeper and further podcasts. For me, you know, I'm a literal creationist. I believe that the God created everything we know within a 6 literal day period.
Yeah.
And then on the 7th day, he rested.
Yeah.
And the reason I believe that, because it says in the Bible that there was morning and night. The sun rose and then the sun set. There's a clear 24-hour day period there, the same way we observe days.
Yeah.
So that's the basis of at least my argument. Other people may have, and that's fine. We're not here to necessarily debate that. But just being a Christian, for me, if we're going to trust in God,
mm-hmm.
we're going to believe in what Christ has done. It's just so hard for me to think about, and this is just one area, and we've talked about some of this in past episodes. It's just so hard for me to see why you don't want to give all authority over to God.
Yeah.
Don't you want to, if you're going to serve God, the one true God of the Bible, don't you want all authority under heaven and earth to be under this one true God?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we don't struggle with that authority, because, you know, our hearts make idols out of everything. We even make ourselves God sometime by trusting in ourselves over God. But I just read that, and I just thought that's just the way that people think.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's interesting.
And with access to obviously the internet and all the social media we have today, those things you are able to see more prominently. But this thought and this idea is not a new thought or idea. People have been repackaging and reworking this all throughout history, all throughout time, because man, in our sinfulness, doesn't want to assert God as God. Doesn't want to assert God as the ultimate authority over all things. So the idea isn't new. It's just packaged in a new way to make it seem like scientific thought and the way that these people are writing is good and right and somehow supersedes anything that we read in Scripture, but that's not true.
Yeah. Speaking of creation, last night we had some – it was crazy – well, we had a lot. Do you have pest problems or you have someone come out?
Yeah, I have someone come out because we had some pest issues. We had some mice living in our attic for a while.
I haven't experienced that yet, but my wife hates spiders, hates roaches, which she's probably more like you.
Yeah.
Casey's more the brave.
Yeah. Casey's the one who will go after the bugs. I'm just not a big bug person.
Well, I'm always like on my toes, ready at any time for Reagan to be like, come in here to get a roach or to kill a spider or whatever. But last night, she was like, ah. And there was like 3 spiders under our dresser. And so killed them like back to back, and then she started going to other rooms, and then there was one under the couch, and then she was like, I just need to go check Coralie's room. She's really paranoid about like a roach getting on her or whatever, and there was actually a roach on the wall. So, yeah, it was funny.
That's,
we live in an infested house.
Yes.
Not really, but I was buying like these little spider pads, or they were little traps, but like sticky pads, and those were working good. I need to get some again since it's coming into summer.
And you do kind of live out in the boondocks, so
yeah,
that's going to come.
But I don't know. I don't know if I don't really want to pay for a bug guy to come out.
I mean, from my perspective, it's helped a lot. I mean, occasionally we still get things, but you know, the fact that we can pay somebody and the culture we live in to come and keep you comfortable, that's another testament to the blessing that we have where we live and stuff like that. Just the fact that that's something that we may take for granted a lot of times. Mm-hmm. We have the ability. But anyway, we have a great show today. We're looking forward to what we have coming up in the main dish. And we will talk more about that after this break.
Hey. Are you enjoying this podcast? Would you like to see it continue? We the Exiles podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Become an Exile today by supporting us through Patreon. With as little as $1 a month, you can support this podcast and the ministry of Seeker and Servant by heading over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/seekerandservant.
Time for our main dish segment, and following the pattern that we're going to try to continue to follow in the coming weeks is release two podcasts a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thursdays being an opportunity for us to focus on getting an opportunity to talk to someone that we may know personally or maybe not know to share their experience or their background as a Christian. We want to talk about real things too, maybe things dealing with people, the real things that people deal with in the Christian life, not just the things that people commonly like to talk about. And that starts, I mean, today we've got an awesome guest. Yeah.
Last week we had Wilder Atkins, who's actually close to
this guy.
To this guy.
Yeah.
Today we're talking to our buddy Trey Cochran.
Yeah, we got an opportunity to meet Trey for the first time back in, I think, 2014. And it's right after we released our first record, Interior Love I Go. It was the first tour that we did as Seeker and Servant, I believe, and we were traveling. They were one of the stops in the Oxford, Anniston, Alabama area.
Yeah.
And we met him and the church that surrounds him, and we have grown a friendship with him. The Lord has kept us in contact with him, you know, this 6-plus years later, and he has a great story, especially some things that they've went through recently as a family that we wanted to kind of talk to him about, to share with you guys that I think would be encouraging to you. And so we want to welcome Trey on the podcast. Trey, you there?
I'm here. What's up?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
How's your morning been?
It's been good. We had I'm at the church, and our kids just got back from kids camp today, so it was fun pairing up the right suitcase to the right kid, and we actually, the van returned with the same amount of kids that we left with, so I'm not sure if it was all our kids or if we picked up an extra one and exchanged it for another one, but all our numbers were good, so.
Well, good.
Trey.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is good. At least you have the same number of kids, so
exactly.
Well, just I guess to start things off, you mind giving us a little history, I guess, on Trey and your background as a believer?
Yeah, man. So really, I can't think of a time that I wasn't in church, and not trying to say that in like a you know, bragging kind of way, because it definitely has its downfalls. I can get into that later. But I've been in church my whole life, through different churches, seeing different denominations, and hearing different pastors, you know, outlook on the word and the scriptures has really kind of helped me over time, you know, with my relationship with the Lord, and really tapping into that, which is where I am today. So,
and where, I don't know if we mentioned, but where are you? Where are you from?
From the big city of East Tioga, Alabama.
Oh.
What's that in relation to? What's the closest, I mean, more well-known city?
So I'm midstream between Atlanta, Georgia, and Birmingham.
Okay.
So I'm 40 miles west, or 40 miles east of Birmingham on I-20. So pretty much in between.
And you've always lived there?
Always born and raised in the middle of nowhere.
You've been near Talladega your whole life.
Yes, man. Go Dale, right?
Yeah. You're married. Tell us a little bit about your family, your wife, and your kids.
Yes, I'm married to my wife, Marky. We've been married for 7 years. We have 2 kids, Cash, he's 3. And our daughter Corey just turned a year old back in January.
And you, you have a unique spelling with Corey's name. It's with an I, right? So it's C-O-R-I.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. What was kind of the history on that? Why did you want to take that route with the name?
Because my wife said, "Hey, that's a great name," and I said, "You know what? You're absolutely right. That's a great name."
Well, Trey, we've gotten to know you pretty well, or just we continue to get to know you over the last few years. It's interesting because we've been able to stay in touch, even though we are, you know, several hundred or maybe like 100+ miles away from you currently. You actually got to sing at Chandler's wedding a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah,
That was a great day. It was really cool. I had to get my jacket.
Yeah, it was a great day. It was hot. It was in July. And
I thought Alabama heat was bad, but Mississippi heat is worse.
Mississippi heat is pretty bad.
Well, one of the big reasons why we wanted to have you on is because we know for the last, I guess since Corey has been around, since she's been born, you've had some interesting stories surrounding her life, and we wanted you to kind of talk about that and just what that's kind of looked like for you and your family since she has, you know, since she's been born. And just kind of talk about that, because we know that for you and your family, that has been a trial. And in this culture that we live in, a lot of Christian culture, some prominent pastors would even say that if you go through certain trials, that you're not actually believing in God enough, which is crazy. But that's how they believe. And so we wanted to talk to you because you've been through some of that, and that story may be able to resonate with some people that may listen to this podcast. And I know that even for my life and Chandler's life, it's encouraging also, just because we know you on that personal level. So do you mind just kind of going through the all-encompassing story of what happened there?
Yeah, for sure. So, like I said earlier, our daughter was born last January. Everything was cool. You know, we prayed the whole time that my wife was pregnant. You know, she wanted to go through with the natural birth, and we did, you know, everything we could as far as, you know, eating right, trying to, you know, keep the weight of the baby down, all that fun stuff. And so fast forward to the day that Corey Jane arrived, and she arrived into the world. It was great. Everything was going awesome. And we thought, man, this is totally different than when our son was born. Like, we were getting to go home the next day. It was totally different. So the doctor came in probably the day after she was born, and they did this thing called a pulse ox test. It's basically like a little sensor that they put on the baby's hands and the feet, and it detects their ox oxygen level, like in their blood, just to make sure they have good blood flow. And Corey's wasn't checking out. It would never check out on her feet. So they were kind of worried. So the pediatrician came in and he was listening. And he's like, I'm hearing something in her heart that I'm just really not comfortable with. We're going to refer you to a cardiologist and we'll get you guys out of here. So we're like, okay, cool. We'll go to the cardiologist. So we get discharged at 10 o'clock in the morning. We go home, freshen up, get in the car, drive to Children's in Birmingham, and go to their clinic there where Corey's current cardiologist is. And man, the whirlwind started there. So they take us back in this room and they're checking everything over. And her cardiologist comes in and he's checking everything out using words that I don't even know what they mean. And you can just kind of see this look come over his face. You know, it's not a panic because he sees this kind of stuff all the time.
Right.
But more people kept flooding in the room and it was just a crazy feeling. And then they tell us, hey, your daughter's very sick and we need to rush you guys across to the CVICU. Yeah. She said, your daughter's going to have open heart surgery. So 2 days after this miracle's in the world, you can't see anything wrong from the surface. Something's just totally out of whack. And what was wrong was she had an interrupted aortic arch. So it wasn't complete. She was surviving off of what they call the fetal duct, which is what the baby gets nourishment from while in utero. But once they're born, that duct actually closes up. But Corey's was still open, keeping her around.
Yeah.
That's why her pulse ox levels were never right in her feet because there was literally no blood,
right,
you know, pumping through. So we go to Children's. She has open heart surgery when she's, I think, 7 days old.
Wow.
And everything went good. So for the next 95 days, we got to camp out at Children's Hotel, Resort, and Spa. And I say that with somewhat seriousness and some sarcasm because the staff there is awesome. They really try to facilitate your every need physically and even spiritually, which was awesome.
Yeah.
To have people there that would walk alongside with you to help you, you know, keep faith.
Yeah.
In those tough times. But she had her open heart surgery. After she had her surgery, you know, that they say that's normally a 7 to 10 day turnaround and you leave and you get to go home and resume normal life. Well, as normal as a kid can be with a heart defect.
Right.
And so post surgery, her left lung collapsed. So they did two operations. So she got to see the operating room twice. To try to get her left lung back up. And after the second one, that was able to, her left lung came back to the party with us.
Hmm.
And so after that, with heart patients, you know, they're really concerned about the way they are going to grow. You know, some of them have a hard time putting on weight. Because their heart's working so hard, it just burns off calories. So she went and wanted to put a feeding tube or a G-tube in. So her first attempt at that, she had a seizure in my wife's arms while we were waiting to go back. And so that was a 6 week, that prolonged our stay 6 weeks to figure out what was the cause of that. And she had actually just, you know, became septic in the hospital. But after that, man, she got her G-tube and we've been at home ever since. And So, we'll be back in June for another operation. She has to have a valve replacement, but it's been a whirlwind.
Sounds like it.
Before we dive a little deeper into this, everything's so good with her right now. She's healthy and doing well.
Yeah. So, like, from the outside, you'd never know anything's wrong. She eats more than her 3-year-old brother does because he's super picky, and she just wants all the groceries.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord for
right
that.
So right now, her blood pressure at her pulmonary valve, not her pulmonary valve, but her blood pressure's at that coming into her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Are high. They're higher than they want them to be. That to hear her cardiologist say they're actually higher at that valve than adults with high blood pressure.
Wow.
So the valve has become thick, which, if I remember everything correctly, with the valve becoming thick because it's working harder.
Yeah.
It's a muscle. So as it works harder, it becomes bigger, it becomes thicker. It's caused it to, like, weep around it.
Right.
So they want her to have a valve replacement. So that's what we'll be looking at in June to try to eliminate that. But
what,
from the outside, you would never know.
What a after, like, first finding out you have to go to the children's and stuff like that, you spend a few days there, these things happen. What is your mindset like? I know, you know, now it's different with the perspective you have going through it and being able to tell a story, but, like, what's your mindset like? What's Marky's mindset, your wife's mindset like after the first few days of having to go through this? I'm sure with minimal sleep and, you know, what's running through your mind during this period?
The worst thing for me, and I think I can speak for her too. The worst thing for us was sitting, you know, they have, like, couches in the room and everything to accommodate you. But, you know, post-surgery, the most difficult thing for us was sitting so close, but knowing that you can't do anything to help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was extremely difficult for me because I've wrestled a lot over the years with, like, control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if I don't have control over a situation, you know, my mind goes into panic mode.
I can attest to that.
So the Lord really showed me over that time, like, hey, you need to let this go and you need to relinquish, you know, control to me in this situation. I already have it, but it doesn't matter. You need to learn to let go. And through that journey, while we were in that season, I grew a lot in that area. I'm not going to say that I've, you know, let everything go as of now, because
right,
we fail daily. But the Lord really taught me a lesson with that during this whole journey.
Did you ever feel like, you know, and we want to be real and honest here. So did you feel like kind of that God was not around? Did you kind of feel separated from God during that period of time?
I don't think there was ever a period where I felt separated from God in that moment. There were just times where my mind was so clouded with,
mm-hmm,
I don't know if selfishness would be the right word, or thinking of, you know, the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, knowing God was there all the time, absolutely 100%. But just letting the flesh side of things take over your thought process, that kind of clouds your vision. And
mm-hmm,
it wasn't until the day I woke up and was like, hey, you know, God's got this. I can't do anything to help this situation except for know that it's in his hands completely. And that's when I started thinking clearly again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would definitely say through that time, which I'm sure you would, but a difficult time like that drew you closer to God in ways?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's Cameron and I. One of the reasons why we wanted to have you on and kind of give that story is because we know your heart and we know where you stand with things, and that's the kind of the point that we want to get across, is that a lot of the trials that we face, worldly trials that we face in our life, if we're Christians, which they're going to come in different shapes and forms, but when they come, they produce in us endurance. They produce strength in us, and they push us back to the source.
Yeah, because when everything's hunky-dory all the time, it's easy to, not that we ever want these things to happen to anybody, especially friends like you, but the reality is that we live in a broken world, a sinful world, and these things do happen. And realizing when these things happen, it's not God causing these things, it's because of the world that we live in. And that sometimes, though, these things that we go through can be under the sovereignty of God in a way that leads us to focus, put our eyes back on Him. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard lesson to learn when you're a proudful human being, because
no, absolutely.
You don't want.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what, you know, how I would be in a situation like that. I mean, thinking about my own daughter and, you know.
I mean, every parent, I can't imagine either what that feeling's like. My struggle is very similar. I have a lot of, well, it's just learning to trust the Lord the way that He deserves to be trusted. And I mean, that's a hard thing to grasp sometimes. We talk about it a lot in our music, and you know us in our music, so you can kind of relate to some of those things that we discuss. But yeah, it's learning to give God all the control, knowing that He is doing everything that He's doing for our good, regardless if we can see it that way or not, especially in those difficult times, is one of the hardest lessons, I think, that any Christian, no matter how strong of a man you may be, is to learn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you said that, because I was going to bring that up. It's so easy for us as Christians to, you know, when we're going through something big, you know, or something good, you know, like a big event, like a, you know, mountaintop moment, where you're like, man, you know, God's purpose is great. You know, this is all in His plan, and you know, we're just walking in that, and this is great. But it's extremely difficult when you're facing something like that, not knowing, you know, if you're even going to be able to resume life with your daughter, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. It's extremely hard to wake up every morning and say, you know, God, you're working all this for your good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because the goodness of God in a situation might not look good to our human eyes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because His plan, you know, was thought out before it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
Before anything happened, you know, all seeing, all knowing, you know, us humans that just get a mere glimpse of that, we can't comprehend it.
Right.
But definitely, you know, relinquishing that every morning, saying, you know, God, you got this. You work everything for your good. So, you know, let your will be done. That seems crazy to say in a bad moment, but it's absolutely needed. Because if you can't trust Him with the bad things, then are you really even trusting Him with the good things that you encounter in life?
Yeah, that's good.
Or is that just a selfish thing where you're saying, well, I can control this, you know, well, if I need more money, I can just work more. Or if I need, you know, X thing, I can do Y to accomplish it. Like,
yeah, and it's,
are you really trusting?
And I can't speak on the exact experience you went through, because I haven't been through that. So it'd be wrong for me to try to equate anything I've gone through, especially with my children, to that. But I can say that, or at least from what I know, you know, in that instance, for instance, even to be able to have access to the care that we have, to be able to go to Birmingham, to go to Children's, to have all those things, you know, in American culture and being in America, we forget the extreme blessings we have to be able to take care of those things. Imagine that situation happening in a third world country, or like somewhere like remote Africa. Not to say that we dumb down what you went through. That's not my point. My point is that it's just easy to think only about ourselves all the time, that we forget that we're not the only people on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so that can be a humbling experience, which I think we all need to be humbled pretty regularly in our lives, especially if we're going to see ourselves in light of who God really is. What would you say if you could give an encouraging word to someone going through a trial or even something maybe similar to that? What would you say to someone listening to this podcast that could be encouraging to them?
I would have to say that no matter what you're facing, don't compare your situation to other people's situation, you know, saying it's of, you know, less or greater magnitude. Whatever you're facing is a big deal to you, and it's a big deal to God. So whether it's, you know, an open heart surgery or your kid, you know, has a cold, like, you're genuinely concerned about their well-being, and you're genuinely concerned about what you're facing. And never forget that, you know, no problem is too big or too small for God's care and love to take care of.
Yeah,
that's true. Especially if you're his child. We know that the promises of God aren't all about our wants. Even though a lot of, Christian culture these days is surrounded by just us and not about seeking the Lord, but seeking about our desires over his. And he's somehow this magical fairy that gives us everything we desire, but promises in the fact that he, and we've even written a song about it before, but, you know, the birds are taken care of. You think about it. We don't have to, how do the birds and everything that we know in creation, if we just step outside and look, is taken care of? Who dictates that? Well, we know as Christians that God does that, and he does it well. They always have what they need. Same thing with the grass. Unless you're in a deserted area, obviously, but the grass has what it needs to grow, even without us really having to tend to it, because God is the ultimate creator, and he, in his sovereignty, he sees to those things. But we're his children, so how much greater does he look after us, especially when it comes to those needs? And the purpose of those things and trials is, like Chandler was saying, for us is to produce that endurance in us, to trust him when it comes to those things. Even if it doesn't work out the way that in our proudful human sinful hearts thinks it should, if we are his, to trust him to know that whatever the outcome may be and the end result is going to be better for us than even what we think could be good for us.
For sure.
And I know for me and for Chandler, we write a lot about that because that's something we struggle with. I mean, you're a bit old. How old are you, Trey?
I am 29.
29. So you're a year older than I am. So we have a lot. The culture around us, we see very similar, especially our generation or the millennial generation. We grew up, we have a very entitled, we're already entitled because of our sin, but with today's culture is very entitled in general. And I believe it's because of that entitlement that makes it even harder to trust God, because we just feel like we're always owed something when we're really not.
Yeah.
We have it a lot better than most people realize. But yeah, we definitely appreciate you as a friend. We're glad that God has brought our two paths together to have you as a friend and be able to kind of grow with you. I don't want anything like that to ever happen to our friends or anything like that. But to see, even for myself, I see the maturity from even when we met you back in 2014, going through that, and then now I can see a growth and maturity in you and in your Christian faith, and that's just a testament to me. If I ever am in a trial, also that the maturity that I and the endurance that I receive from the Lord through that is what I should keep my focus on during those times, knowing that He's a good Father, He's a good God, and I can trust Him. So we definitely appreciate your friendship. We appreciate you taking the time to tell that story. And just your willingness to be honest about things that sometimes people aren't willing to be honest about. And having you come on the podcast and stuff like that.
But I'm sure we'll have you again.
Yeah, I'm sure we will at some point. Real quick before we close, Trey's also a worship leader. Right, Trey?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and you lead worship where? What's the name of the church?
Fellowship Church here in Oxford.
In Oxford. Yeah, and the church has a... they have several locations around the area?
We just have two locations. One here in Oxford, and then our other location is a town called Jacksonville, Alabama. It's there close to the university.
Cool. Well, we've gotten to know not just you, but several of the people from that church, and we've loved everybody we've met there, the hearts of the Lord, and just even some of the people that we've met who are very similar in nature to who we are, and I know that's intentional by the Lord. So if you're in that area, you want some people who will love on you, who will show you some truth and the light that it's supposed to, go check out that church. Say hey to Trey if you happen to be in the area. He's a really nice, friendly country bumpkin from Alabama.
That's me.
Thanks, Trey. Hey. We'll catch up with you hopefully in the future.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye.
All right.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP. Lord, heal my pride. Help me leave behind. Including the single Fear Missing Out, as well as three brand new tracks. Releasing June 7th, wherever digital music is heard or sold.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's time for that dessert.
Time for the dessert.
Cool.
Love Trey.
Do too. Love his heart. Just a great person to be around. He probably wouldn't admit it, but he's a pretty humble guy, and that speaks loads of volumes for me. Especially when you meet somebody and they're, you can just tell their genuineness, you know, mm-hmm. after meeting them and stuff. So,
Before we brought him on, I was going to mention it's funny that, how we create a lot of these relationships, but we've made so many friends from doing Seeker and Servant. When we, like, hosts of shows and stuff, when we go play shows, we end up becoming, like, lifelong friends with these people. And it goes beyond just us being a band, coming to play. We he came and played at my wedding. And also another friend of ours, Joe Hans from
California
flew into my wedding, which was insane.
And maybe we'll have Johans on at some point too.
But it's crazy. And that's why one of the reasons why we love doing Seeker and Servant and actually going and traveling and playing is because we're creating a community of believers and, right. and people to, you know, to hold each other up and to,
And it's those real friendships. 'Cause you can tell, they last and they are the way they are because God, in his sovereignty, has ordained those friendships.
Right.
Because they continue. And from time to time, even with Johans, he'll text me and ask me to pray for him for certain things, even if I haven't talked to him in months. Same thing with Trey. Sometimes Trey will text me out of the blue just to check on me, ask me how I'm doing, vice versa with his family. You know, that's a sweet picture of what we have in eternity, except that's always ongoing in eternity. Yeah. You know, this,
I desire that more each time we go play. I desire to make relationships like that more than creating some,
yeah, and
essence about our band,
right? And, it's like, for us, it's really grown into, and this also is by the Lord's grace, this going to play and do these things is about continuing to grow these relationships with these people, because it is encouraging to us. It is edifying to my walk with Christ. It's not about seeker and servant, Cameron Chandler Wood. It's not about putting on some lavish show and hoping to sway people to love us as musicians, but rather it's just an opportunity for us to be reminded of the people that God has brought into our lives and how they encourage us, and to show how real his work is. Because it's easy to just get so consumed in your daily life and to let life go on and kind of forget that there's a whole world out there. But when you hear other people's stories and see how God is working, it's just a testament to how not only real God is, but the power and work that he does.
Yeah. It's a supernatural thing.
Really is.
And especially in what we just interviewed Trey about. Why in trials, why in hard times, in this life as Christians, those who are truly seeking after Christ, why is it that we do turn back to Christ? In the world's eyes, that's crazy. That seems ludicrous. Like, shouldn't we be blaming God? Shouldn't we, you know, why would we turn back to God for our ultimate comfort and our ultimate, you know, sustainer? And it's a supernatural work. It's the Spirit within us, knowing that the true source is Christ.
Yeah, because left to yourself, you would.
Yeah.
Left to yourself, you would. I mean, if you look at the story of Job in Scripture, God allowed Satan to tempt Job, knowing the end result before the whole trials of Job happened, because he knew that, well, Job can only do those things because I'm giving him my power, and my power is going to trump yours, Satan's, anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
and we always want to give Satan the credit for all these trials and these hard times. Well, honestly, God is working everything in our life for our good and for his glory. And a lot of these trials and stuff that we face, they are blessings if it turns our eyes back to Christ.
Right. And a lot of people think, well, all these hard stuff I'm going through, that can't be God. God would never do that to me. But we have to understand, first and foremost, God cares about one thing the most, his glory.
Mm-hmm.
He's a jealous God, and he cares about himself the most. And guess what? He has every right to do so. He made us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are created for his worship. We're created for his glory. And so with that being in mind, God, if you are a child of God, is working things out for your good, and that working things out for good doesn't mean that it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it means going through those hard trials because, again, he's all about his glory, so that means he's going to maybe put trials in your life,
yeah,
so that you get reminded, hey, this isn't about you in your life. This is about my glory. And if you truly are my child, I am creating in you a new heart continually, sanctifying you, working you to be more like the person that I initially created you to be, so that I get more glory.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that. And if we're not in it for God's glory, then are we truly Christians? Mm-hmm.
That ties into the scripture today.
Yeah, we're going to be in James chapter 1. It works so well with what we talked about with Trey. James is actually one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's a small book. There's a lot of, just like many books in scripture, there's so much theology packed in here. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 18.
2 through 18.
Yeah, 2 through 18.
I'll read it.
All right, go ahead.
James 1:2-18.
2 through 18.
All right. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by a wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Yeah, I like that too. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. I mean, how many of us would actually think of a trial as a gift?
Yeah.
And you know, it says there, and this is where people, I think, take it out of context. God can't be tempted, and God doesn't tempt us. It's not God tempting us, but God does put things in our way, and it's our sinful hearts that take through our evil desires and make things actually worse for us. When things happen in life, majority of the time, it's because, again, we've taken our eyes off God, mm-hmm. and we have been enticed by evil desire, mm-hmm. been enticed by some worldly thing, and that in result gives over into sin, and we know the wages of sin is death, which is what it's referring to there. And so a lot of times, these trials are things that God may place in our life that, you know, is a testing of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never the one that actually produces that sin in us, because God is perfect. It's us that mm-hmm. actually do it. It's us that actually fall.
Yeah. I think it's really important, coming right out of the gate, you know, to think about joy. It says, count it all joy.
Right.
When you meet trials. This is opposite of what we associate trials with. But through God's working and in Christ, we can have joy in these trials and these tribulations, because we are secure in Christ. We are safe in his sovereign hands. We as believers, we have the greatest gift we could possibly ever get in salvation in Christ.
Oh, it is the
positive. And it is.
Yeah.
These trials and these testings of our faith, they produce in us what's going to draw us closer
right
to Christ.
Which is when he's talking about the doubter is like a surging sea. And you know people like that. I've even been there before. You know, it's driven and tossed by the wind. It goes back and forth and back and mm-hmm. forth. It's never really secure in God. And a non-believer's like that. You can usually tell those who have been through many trials in their life. One, they're super humble people, because a humble person knows where he stands when it comes to who he is. He knows God is in control, and he knows there's nothing he can do about it. So they're usually pretty humble. And two, they're mellow because of that humbleness, and they don't have the same kind of quick doubt mentality that a lot of us who may be new believers or going through trials for the first time are. They're strong They're they're planted and rooted in Christ in such a way that you're like, man, I want to be like that. Especially if you are a believer, you want to be like that. But that doesn't come instantaneously. That's a growing of your faith. And I like too how he kind of talks about the rich person and then the other side being humility. Think about it too. That's why we're not supposed to have everything.
Mm-hmm.
If we have everything that we've ever wanted and desired, then we won't want God.
Yeah.
And if we don't, and that's what he's talking about there, a rich person will wither away while pursuing his activities, and that's the truth. The end result is this. If your heart is focused on everything you want and you can get all that, you know, and here's the thing too, God sometimes will give all that to people, but you won't have him.
Mm-hmm.
You can live your whole life chasing after those things and maybe have the best life you can possibly have. But in the end, you will wither away, just like the flower does. You will wither away. When Christ returns in all his glory to finish the work that he started on the cross to bring his children to him unto himself for all eternity, if you aren't a Christ follower, you will wither away. You will fall away forever, for all of eternity. And that's what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we're doing this. We want to be challenging. We want to have these real conversations because life is ultimately about one thing, God and his glory.
Yeah.
That's it. It's about one thing, God and his glory. And Christ is the only way that we can even bring God glory or have hope that we will get to experience that glory.
Yeah. So Christian brothers and sisters, you know, rest in Christ. We know that trials will come. And a lot of us, if you're listening, I'm sure you've gone through many trials. The encouragement here is to look to Christ as is the answer to everything. Your faith will be tested. You're going to produce steadfastness, and it's going to give way to you lacking in nothing, because you're ultimately going to be closer to the one who
is everything.
Is everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to close with this. Read this commentary from Spurgeon in relation to this. He says, "Mature and complete. The most valuable thing a person can obtain in this world is that which has most to do with his true self. A man may acquire a good house, but suppose he is in bad health. What is the good of his fine mansion? The best thing is that which will make him a better man, make him right, true, pure, and holy. If our afflictions tend, by trying our faith, to breed endurance, and take that endurance, and that endurance tends to make us into mature and complete people in Christ Jesus, then we may be glad of trials." Because that's what we want, right? To be more mature and complete in Christ. "When blessed of God, our trials ripens us. Believers who have endured a great deal of affliction exhibit a sort of mellowness that you never see in other people. It cannot be mistaken or imitated. A certain measure of sunlight is needed to bring out the real flavor of fruits. When a fruit has felt its measure of burning sun, it develops a lusciousness we delight in. So is it in men and women. A certain amount of trouble appears to be necessary to create a sugar of graciousness in them, so that they may contain the rich ripe juice of a gracious character." And with that, we are the exiles. Set your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. We'll see you next time.